4 weeks off and the band is back together. Richo, Brownie and Hummer, the summer edition. Now, for those that are watching on YouTube, there's a glaring thing you'll see. I'm in the – what was the last message I sent in our WhatsApp group last night? At 10 o'clock last night, I said, this is the summer edition, wear your party shirts.
Well, you said you said wear summer clothes, so we've got T-shirts
on. No, I meant this stuff. So I'm dressed in
Where would you even buy something like that to start with?
I'm dressed in a banana, a short sleeve button up shirt with bananas and banana leaves on it. Very summery, flowy, cool. And you blokes have just come dressed in like your caterers.
This is what I'd wear in summer, a t-shirt.
Yeah. No, but we're trying to spice things up a bit, you know, the beach theme and whatnot.
Again, where do you buy a shirt like that? I don't even know where you get one like that.
Is that a summer shirt or is it sort of a...
I would wear this to the Sorrento Hotel. I'd stroll on in. They wouldn't let me in.
Sorry, mate. They look at your tats and look at your shirt and go, how about this bloke? He's going to either throw a glass, he's going to get into a fight, or he's just going to be an absolute shit magnet somewhere.
Go back to the Rye Hotel.
He doesn't look like a private school boy, Rich, does he?
No, and I've spent a lot of time and money trying to absolve.
Are your parents disappointed the way it turned out?
No, they're very proud of me.
So how much money were they spent? Because you've figured it out, haven't you? How much money you have to spend to send somebody to private school?
It's probably $250,000 for high school.
No, do you reckon that was money well spent?
When I was in year seven, the school fees was $10,000.
Right.
Even.
Apparently you had a scholarship for music, though, or something in the arts, didn't you?
Well, I got that later in.
It's a lot of money to spend.
It is a lot of money, but
what was the scholarship for? Just take us through the scholarship.
Well, I had academic and sport. So that was 50%, 50%. And then in year nine, I picked up an oboe when I was walking through the music school. I went, oh, Christ, this kid can play. It gave me a music scholarship.
Oh, rubbish.
So that helped. What were you excelling at in sport at this point?
All of them. Footy. The only one I was no good at was swimming.
Yeah.
I'm not a good
swimmer. You didn't quite make it.
I haven't got a physique for swimming. Hey, we've had 4 weeks off since the grand final. Things have changed massively in Melbourne as well because, of course, when we finished up in October, we were still on a very heavy lockdown.
Yeah.
What have you been doing the last few weeks?
Mate, just been watching the screens. Cryptocurrency, I tell you, I've been on this for years now. I've been telling you it is going to come back. All you had to do was hold, Matthew. You had to hold, and it has bounced back with a vengeance, pushing in on all-time highs at the moment as we speak Bitcoin. So I tell you what, we are coming hard.
Well, I know that it's gone up, and you did tell me to buy Bitcoin, and I didn't do it because I don't trust it. And I'll tell you why I don't trust it, because a good mate of mine has put money in one of these crypto funds, and he's tried to get it out recently because he needed the money. He needed to buy some stuff around the house, and he's renovating his home.
And I told this mate of ours that this was a scam.
It's disappeared.
Oh, no, the money's gone.
It's completely just disappeared. He tries to log into it now and it's just not there. It's just gone.
This is a bloke that started at Carlton. He played at Richmond, then the Bulldogs. He was number 22 at the Bulldogs. So you figure out who he is. His first name's Ben and I think his last name's Harrison.
Well,
it's
gone.
Is the, of course, you don't need to give any figures, but is your original investment, because it's been very well documented that your original
investment
went hard early. Just had a bit of
went
a pounding early. Are you back to parity?
Almost, Richard. I reckon another 12%. And we'll be back to parity. So I can't wait because that 12% then is going to skyrocket, Matt.
Beautiful.
People are saying, get out now. It is, you held for this long, and they call it HODL, H-O-D-L,
So they've got all these weird acronyms in the crypto world.
I don't trust it.
But Brownie,
institutional money's coming in.
Give me two sentences. What is crypto? Like, what does it actually do?
It is the blockchain.
It's that complicated. Once you put it in, you can't get it out.
Well, I've had a very well-documented loss as well. And Brownie said that it was back up. I went and checked. I cannot, for the life of God, find that 24-character password.
That's what I mean.
I can't find it anywhere because I didn't log in for 3 years.
You've been watching the screens, and I've just been watching the screens as well. I've watched the grand final replay about 15 times. That's all I've done for a month.
Well, take us through that because we haven't spoken to you since the grand final. How was it?
I didn't cry. No, I was happy. I was worried just before halftime. I thought Geelong had control of the game. Well, they did. Hawkins kicked a goal, but then Tui missed one. And who else missed one for Geelong? Grian Myers missed one. They could have been further ahead.
Duncan was running right. Yeah. Guthrie was probably best on ground at halftime.
The forward line looked dangerous, but then Dusty kicks that goal just before halftime. And that gave Richmond a sniff because all of a sudden you went, gee, Geelong should be 5 goals up. Dusty kicks that. You're 15 and points down.
Just talking about that goal, like it gets glossed over because he kicks so many great goals. But at that time, and people always wonder, why does everyone pump up Dustin Martin? There's a lot of people out there that go, Dustin Martin's actually overrated. No, he's not. No. Watch that grand final. Nobody's ever really done this in a grand final. I mean, Gary Ablett kicked 9 in a losing side, but to turn the game the way he did and that goal to fend off, it was Collins Jasny, who's a big boy, and to be able to hook it back over your head, that was an extraordinary goal.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And you're right, Nate, it was about the timing of his goals. So that one just before halftime, his goal in the third quarter put Richmond in front. Then his third goal in the last quarter basically sealed the game. And then the one on the boundary line was just showing off by then.
Did you get to the club? Have you been down to the club since?
No.
Swan around?
No, I haven't done anything. That was the disappointing thing about this, Granny. You woke up on the Sunday morning and you want to go and party, but the pubs weren't even open. They opened the next day, didn't they? Which was disappointing. No, it was good fun though, Rich.
Sponsorship update before we dive into the show. Of course, now TaylorMade.
A good game of golf.
Now, TaylorMade has been, this has been probably not only the cheapest sponsorship in sport, but the most documented sponsorship in sport. In terms of airtime, TaylorMade has had it.
It's the cheapest because they haven't had to spend anything yet.
Well, correct. And I don't want to raise the alarm bells just yet.
You can't find them.
You can't produce.
I have
been. You promised.
I have had 3 emails, 2 text messages, and a phone call all unanswered from Aaron.
They're probably busy now that golf courses are open again.
Oh, you'd be very busy.
To not reply to 1 email, a phone call or a text message.
Just wait, hold
on. You've got
a
penchant for going off in the holster and just really giving it to people.
I'm not, well, okay, I'm not going, you know, I came in today and I had to be, you had to cool me down because I was about to sack TaylorMade.
But listen.
We're not doing that yet.
We had the main man on air. What was his
name? Aaron.
We had Aaron on air.
Yeah.
So what else do you need? He's on air. We can just replay.
Yeah,
that.
If you need that is a contract.
It, we'll fix it for you, mate. Okay.
Should we have stayed with Callaway?
You've got zero pull.
No.
Should we have stayed with Callaway?
No. We're TaylorMade.
Along with TaylorMade, we are offering sponsorships at maybe a lower tier, a tier 2 sponsorship. Now, all you need to do, we did this a couple of years ago and we had to pull it because we had a guy who was desperate for Richo's address so he'd go and mow his lawns and we thought, oh, it's getting a little bit creepy now. But if you're a business, a trader, a product, whatever you are, and you want to be a tier 2 sponsor.
We'll give you a good mention.
We'll give you a good mention. All you need to do is send us, you don't even have to send us some product. It would be nice, but you just send us an inbox message to Richo, Brownie, myself, or the sports bet, and you will be a tier 2 sponsor. Because at the moment, and if TaylorMade don't come, you might.
What's your ideal tier 2 sponsorship? Have you got somebody?
Oh,
the wines were good.
Hugo Wines. If Hugo Wines came back on, that would be fantastic. Some type of alcohol would be great.
It's like a hat sponsor or something.
Yes, clothes. I guess if we got a car.
Summer shirts.
If we got summer shirts, be nice. Yep. A car sponsor would be nice, but that would probably go to tier 1.
We're not getting car sponsorships, mate.
Hey, well, you've already got one. Ferntree Gully Nissan. And
he's on billboards everywhere.
Ferntree Gully Hyundai. And Kia.
Push-up works out there now.
He does. Selling cars now, Jake.
What?
Well, he's more general manager, but it's at Knox Mitsubishi, actually.
Walking around the car lock.
He just intimidates me. He'd
be buying the first car he says buy. AFL trade period, be remiss of us not to have a look. It only ended, it's felt like it went on forever.
It does go on for too long.
I kind of like the week, but I hope we go back to the week where it's just frantic the whole time. This went on for 3 weeks.
It does go for too long, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Most of the deals get done late. It's just
they're going to get done.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at some of the biggest winners and losers. Of course, we have to chat about Collingwood, I think, off the top, because it was remarkable what happened.
Well, I think, look, clearly they had salary cap issues, Brownie, and they had to get rid of some money off their list, and that was obvious to everyone. But as you pointed out before, we were talking about it off air, I think they butchered the messaging of it.
The communication was pretty ordinary from Collingwood. And I think they've come out, and Eddie's come out and said that we probably could have handled the PR of it, like the job that you do for Sportsbet so well. But just come out and say, look, we want Darcy Moore and we want Jordan Ngoi. They are costing us a lot of money along with Brodie Grundy. So something has to give. And then they just need to be honest and go, look, we probably made a mistake with the 5 years for Adam Treloar. Unfortunately, he's probably going to make way because we feel like we can cover. And the other thing is we're still paying Dane Beams to not play, which is $800 to $1 million a year. So just come out and say all those things and Collingwood supporters go, Well, it makes sense. We're not happy about it, but at least we know. And I think they missed a big opportunity to do that. And they didn't mention the Dane Beams thing anywhere in there, but they are paying Dane Beams still not to play
for us. They're tiptoeing around that, of course, you know, with the mental health issues that he's got.
I think your members just want transparency. Yep. You want to know where you stand as a member. And I think that was the big problem with Collingwood. They were the big losers, though.
It's a sensitive issue, but it's still... like a fact, it's not, people aren't making it up. It's like a big chunk of money going to a player who's not playing.
You've got to be better with your list management, though. And I think the big winners in that regard were the Dogs. I mean, they've given away nothing. And look at the star power that they've brought into their team.
Yeah. Well, holding firm on Dunkley was really good. So they thought that he was out the door. They were destined to the fact that he was going to be, and almost tried to do the trade. And then the trade with Treloar came up, which they put all their energy into. And Sam Power, who I played with at the Bulldogs, brother of Luke Power, who is the list manager there, did not blink, did not move one iota. And at the end of the day, just nerves of steel, Sam Power, and did such a great job. And he is a very, very intelligent guy. I think out of 100 at TR, I think he got 99.15 or something. Ooh. So when you're trading with a guy like that, you're dealing with someone who's extremely smart as well.
Yep. So you look at the Dogs now and you go, their midfield is incredible, the depth that they've got there. But is there still an issue at either end? I mean, their midfield's going to be unbelievable next year, but what about either end?
I think one of their big issues was, and it's a short-term band-aid, getting Stephen Martin, who 2 years ago was one of the top three ruckmen in the competition. He's probably a little bit older now, but I think the double ruckman, because I think English can play forward. So I think English going forward, Norton becomes a better player. Bruce didn't really fire, but they do have some issues in their defensive end.
Yeah.
Did Geelong pay too much for Jeremy Cameron?
Oh, they had to get him in the end, didn't they? Because they really wanted him. Yeah. Cameron had stated he was wanting to go there. He was never going to go back to the Giants. And, well played by the Giants. They stood firm and they get 3 first-round picks. It is a lot. It's a lot to give up for one player. Mm.
Jeremy Cameron's turning 28.
They've got to win the flag now.
Have to win the flag because they're young talent at the moment, and they've been so good with their young talent for years, ever since the Ablett-Bartel days when they got this influx of success in. Now, they've got a player who's cost them a lot and they don't have a lot. Darcy Fogarty, another player, a young player who's talented, injury-prone, but goes out the door. So they've got Higgins, who's 30-plus.
30.
Isaac Smith, 30-plus. Now, unless they win a flag 2021 or 22, it's a big fail because after that, they fall off a cliff. They've lost Ablett and they've lost Harry Taylor. So a few older players go out the door. Well, I think one move that Geelong, and I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, I think they need to put a Sava Radicalea to centre half back. Now, players who don't play the game as young players, I think it's always hard to create the play and be a half forward or a full forward like he is, because you see him run under the ball a lot. The same with Mason Cox. Didn't grow up with the game, runs under the ball a lot. Tell Sava Radicalea, go to centre half back. The game comes to you, so you can react. You don't have to create. You could react, play on the best players, play on Lynch, play on Rewalt, play on, Mason Cox, who's going to play there. But send him back there. I reckon he can be a wonderful player at centre half back.
Well, he has to now because you've got Jeremy Cameron and Hawkins in the forward line. You're probably not going to play Radicalea down there as well. So I think he probably needs to go back or turn him into a ruckman, because ruck's always an issue, and it was in the grand final again. Nankervis played so well and Stanley didn't have a great game. So that they're the team that they're winners, but they sort of could be losers in the long run if they don't win a flag. And obviously Danaher to Brisbane, if he gets fit, they'll be looking pretty good as well.
Some rule changes got announced late last week. It's always that time where they just like to tinker with the rules. I know it gets you very angry that sometimes we don't need to tinker with the rules. Just let them go. Some strange ones this year.
I just don't think the rules that they've changed are going to make any difference. They've brought the interchange down by, 15?
Yep.
10 or 15?
Yeah. That is a drop in the ocean.
90 to 75, was it?
It's just not going to make any difference at all. I mean, teams this year in the shortened games weren't using their 90 anyway. Yeah. So that's not going to do anything. The manning of the mark that they've bought in, I just think that's going to make it even harder for the umpires. So
it's confusing already.
Rule changes for nothing, I think, for mine.
Yeah, they needed, if they were going to reduce the interchange, like do it drastically, bring it down to 40, something like that. And then Dangerfield comes out and said, we're worried about the health and safety of the players by bringing it down 15. It's a drop in the ocean, 90 to 75, 15 or whatever it is.
I don't know why they don't wind that one back. Bring it back to 40 or 50 and make a real difference.
When you would have played in the era when you had blokes sit on for a whole quarter, wouldn't you, on the bench?
Sometimes you'd come off late in the first quarter if you were getting a kick and you'd sit there all day.
There's no doubt.
That'd be it.
There's no doubt you get more cooked because you're out there for the whole day, and that's where midfielders have to go forward and that's and rest forward. The other one, I don't know why they won't change. I do know why, because they don't want Ruckman getting injured. But I just don't know why they don't allow third man up at stoppages, because what does that do?
Yeah.
You can smash the ball clear. It might ease a bit of congestion, get the ball out of that confined area. I don't know why they just don't change that.
Even getting injured in the third man.
You know what? Aaron Sanderland's gone injured one day and they changed it because of one injury.
At least it's better than the BBL. You got the power surge, the bash boost, and the X factor. It sounds like some sort of reality show.
It's AFLX. It's AFLX.
Look, you can see what they're trying to do. Their audience is...
They've stuffed it. They've stuffed the whole... They had the best product in Australia maybe three or four years ago.
Too many games. Too much saturation.
You want to leave people wanting more. Yeah. And the Big Bash did the exact opposite. They went, all right, they're loving this. Let's pile in as many games as possible. Now they're trying to tinker with it. And it's just turned into a bit of a Mickey Mouse competition. Yeah. And I think it's not going to have the same wow factor.
What was the goal, the super goal in the AFLX? The Zupa or something?
It was sponsored by Zupa Dupers.
That's right. Come on.
And then they had the Gatorade X Factor player that you could bring on for a few years. Looking to other sports, of course, our sponsor, TaylorMade, we had the Masters on the weekend, which is just magnificent. And for golf fans, it's very exciting because the very next major is the Masters. So we've got back-to-back Masters, which is very exciting. Cam Smith, the Australian, was just spectacular. When Dustin Johnson's in that form, there's nothing anyone else can do. Yeah. But Cam Smith was just
We don't want to talk about Cam Smith, though.
We'll mention one thing about Cam Smith. He broke a record at the Masters, and you should know this, Hummer.
Yep.
First player in history to have four rounds under in 70s. The 60s.
And not win.
You're pretty stiff.
And he had the highest score to come second in a Masters as well.
Good payday, though. Good payday.
Over $1 million.
Do you know Cam Smith? Why aren't we talking about Cam Smith?
Well, we don't know Cam Smith, but we do know Cam Smith's caddy very well.
We do. Oh. And he made a bit of a name for himself at the Masters because basically, Nate, we know this man. he looks like the caddy
of
Happy Gilmore. Or as this gentleman said here, not a bad tweet, it was nice of Cameron Smith to give the guy who cleans his windshield a job for the weekend.
So that's your mate.
That's our mate on the left.
Matthew Tritton, his name is. His nickname is Bussy. And must admit, he does look like a homeless man.
He does look. What's he doing there?
He should have tied
himself
up.
He's just had 100 grand
payday. He's been a caddy
himself
for a long time. He's been living in San Diego for a long time.
Yeah, Bussy's caddied for Robert Allenby, Jeff Ogilvie, a couple of Americans, Luke List. He caddied for... Peter Lonard years ago. So he's played for years. But one of my favourite caddy stories. And the caddies, when they get together at tournaments, you know, they don't have to be quite as switched on as the players. They go out, they can have a few beers.
They can tie one on
the night before a round. And Bussy was at the British Open one year with Peter Lonard, Nate, and they've gone out to one of the boozers there and had about 15 pints the night before the first round. They had a 7 o'clock tee off, Peter Lonard and Bussy. So Bus gets back to his hotel room at about 5 a.m. Has a quick shower, had a 45-minute train ride out to St Andrews or wherever the tournament was, the British Open. Gets to the first tee at 7 a.m. and he's blowing well over 0.05. Put it that way. You reckon he's walking down the first tee? Lonard's spanked it down the middle, and he said he was walking down. He started feeling a bit dizzy, a bit dehydrated. Reckon he was seeing double, carrying the golf clubs. Next thing, he's just walked straight into one of those bunkers at the British Open. Big deep bunker, fallen down. All Lonard's clubs have fallen out in the bunker.
Now, our man Bussy, as a caddy, you have to be precision, don't you?
You've got to know your yardages.
He's advising Cam Smith into a world record. Yeah. So we went to a party in 2009, Hummer, and it was in the Hollywood Hills. So we were over there. We were travelling around for about a month.
Yeah.
Me, him, Kane Pettifer was there.
Oh.
And we were meeting a mate of ours, Cameron McGlinchey, who's married to Natalie Bassingthwaite. So I went to this party, and Natalie Bassingthwaite was friends with Sam Worthington, the actor. So he got us to this party up in the Hollywood Hills, and it was about 3 a.m. and we'd been going pretty hard all day, and we'd had a fair few beers.
Whose house was it? It was a great party.
Anyway, so we're talking about caddying and golf, and we're leaning over this balcony here in the Hollywood Hills, and there was a little car park or a car, like it looked at least 500 metres away, and I said to Bussy, "You think you're so good? How far is that like car park down there?
Yeah, what club are you hitting?
Yeah, what club are you hitting? And he said, you're going with an 8-iron. I reckon it's about 140 yards down there. And like I looked at it and I thought, I'm no caddy, I'm no golfer, but that is no way there's 140 yards. So we decided to walk down there. It ended up being about 520 yards. So
you know what it was? It was a Bryson DeChambeau drive. Yeah. That's what it was. So I'm surprised Cam Smith finished second at the Masters, to be honest.
That'd be a nice little payday for him.
Well, I won't say exactly what it was. Cam Smith won over a million US and the caddies
bet got 8%. Bet your wage for the year.
8% the caddies
got. Well, it wouldn't be far off, if I'm being honest. A favourite segment of the show, and we've had 4 weeks between drinks, so this one is full, of course, the Nuffy Jar.
Why? Can I just? I've got a feeling I'm going to, you know.
Well, you are the king.
You
go hard on Twitter.
But I thought the idea of this segment was that we would pick out people that.
Yeah, like, normally we do it so often. Normally we do, but you've given.
Be the worst person.
It's
on Twitter.
Like you haven't been able to let go of your playing days. That the adulation, you know, the people. Oh, Richo, when they used to go, Richo man. They used to go Richo down at the Punt Road end, and I think you get on there, and like even when you had your 282 kids run around at your retirement, and apparently I heard one of them got sick and you demanded that they find another kid to bring him in. You need to let go.
I will admit.
You need to let go of the fame.
I've been a bit bored over the last 4 weeks.
And you have been. And so normally, traditionally, in the Nuffy Jar, we go far and wide. Anyone in the sporting world gets a mention. But we haven't had to go very far. In fact, we haven't had to leave this room today. So let's go through the first one. Talk us through a game or a bet you've got with Dan Connors.
Well, you know Dan Connors well, Nathan. We played footy together, and look, we're having a few beers recently, and Connors suggested that he'd been doing weights. He's looking big. He's been throwing a bit of steel around. He's 6'1", and he started saying that he reckoned he could outmark me. So I just put a little tweet out on Twitter, and I've put the challenge out, and he's run scared at the moment. I reckon Brownie could kick 100 balls up in the air, and he would not be able to outmark me once.
Not once.
Not once.
So all you have to do, and this we're actually doing
out
this.
Out of 100.
Out of 100.
So this is the same Dan Connors who could be awful for 100 minutes of football, but 1 minute could do something sublime.
He could.
So he only has to mark it once. He has to. And he's a big leap.
He won't mark one ball out of 100.
And this is an actual competition. Sportsbet is putting $1,000 on to the winner. So if Richo can go 100 pills, which is...
I don't have to mark it. All I've got to do is get it to ground.
Do you need 100? I reckon lower it, because 100 kicks is a lot.
Yeah, we might bring it back.
It's a long day.
We might bring it back.
Let's bring it down. $1,000 from Sportsbet to Richo's charity of choice if he goes. $1,000 to Dan Connors.
You've also been spruiking your tag. Watch. We've already seen the debacle of the last one. Here you are.
Look at this.
Again, I'd suggest you don't look into the...
This caption's...
Son, you're looking a bit old into the sun.
This caption's a little bit better. Need a watch that screams class but still gives you the fun fitness features you love? Problem solved with the Tag Heuer Connected.
Okay, I'll ask you a simple question.
Come on.
I'll ask you both. I know it's got a little bit of rankness attached to it, that photo, but if you were getting a nice tag watch, surely you'd do that.
Yep. Are you wearing it now?
No, I'm not wearing it. I've got my cheap Tissot on at the moment.
But you didn't stop there, did he?
No.
He's got a couple more.
He just kept going, of course. Now, there are conversations that can be had on Twitter that you don't have to engage in.
Publicly.
You just don't have to. So let's have a look at the latest, because Quarters put up a tweet talking, anchovies are the best, a misunderstood delicacy, just saying. And then he's put a picture of what looks to be like a really old box of anchovies. And our man Richo... Can't agree, Quarters.
I reckon you've been coached by Plough for too long. You're turning into Plough on
Twitter.
Why are you
getting involved in that conversation?
There's a reason for this one.
Oh, they want to be
a very, very simple reason. I'd had about 10 furfies.
And I tell you who I love on Twitter, and he is well entrenched in the Nuffy Jar family here, is Rowan Connolly. And I thought all my Christmases had come at once when my two Nuffies got together and they started conversing on rock nomination and third man up in the interchange.
That's not...
Get off Twitter, you Nuffy.
That's not my fault. He's responding to me
But then you went back.
Yeah, look, I need a spell, boys.
You do need a spell. And the last one, we just had to spread the love. Our man Brownie. Now, we know that there is not a man in the world that loves accolades more than Brownie.
He just tried to say, I love accolades. This is a man who soaked up
this
some accolades.
This is a man that loves getting praise so much that he doesn't even realise who's giving it to him. Nick Quinn, who is essentially Brownie's direct competitor at TAB. They should be enemies. Nick
they
Quinn
talk.
Works at TAB. They shouldn't talk. No. Nick Quinn is also a man that talks down to me a lot.
He should talk down to you. Why do we have to be enemies? So, just because he works at the TAB?
Can I just say, but you're two public figures like that.
So basically what's happened here is that Quinny's watching an old game on Fox Footy where Nathan's playing well at the old Telstra Dome, and Brownie likes to accept that feedback from Quinny.
Adam Simpson was tagging me. I've just torn him apart.
Yeah.
And what did you reply to Nick Quinn?
I said, tell me more, Quinny.
Oh, Brownie,
you can't. Wanting him to give you more and more compliments.
You've got to be friends with your fellow ambassadors.
No, you don't. Yeah. Not our direct competitors. The only one that can bring this juggernaut down. Richo, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
Well, this is something that's been doing my head in for a long, long time. And we haven't had to experience it a lot lately because there's been no freedom, obviously, in Melbourne. Nobody's been able to get out. But now that we're able to get out again and start driving our cars, there's no ring of steel, there's no 20K limit as to where you can go. Everyone's been getting out on the roads again, and it's reminded me just of the road rage that exists here in Melbourne and our Melbourne traffic, because it's back in full force, the traffic, isn't it? Nobody's getting on public transport. I think people are a bit scared to get on public transport with COVID. But anyway, I went on a little road trip down to Mount Martha on Sunday afternoon to visit a mate and had dinner, blah, blah, blah. Coming back yesterday morning.
What did you have for dinner?
Had a nice porterhouse steak, had a few bottles of red, which was nice. But coming back early yesterday morning, and it was absolutely teeming down, okay?
Yep.
Really raining heavily in Melbourne. I got onto East Link and the Peninsula Link there from Mount Martha. And I'm in the right-hand lane, and I've set my cruise control to 100 because that is the speed limit, 100 kilometres an hour. And I like to stick to the speed limit because I've got no points left, all right? So I'm going at 100 k's an hour. It is absolutely teeming
down. Why haven't you got any points left?
Because I may have used to speed years ago.
Oh, you do get them back.
I know. But
you can go the 1 point method for 6 months.
I did that and rolled the dice and lost. And then lost your license for double the time.
But what's doing my head in are truck drivers on the East Link and on the freeways. Why do they insist on driving up behind you?
Yeah.
And intimidating you into trying to change lanes. I was going the speed limit. The rain is teeming down. I can hardly see out the front. And I'm telling you, there's a double load semi-trailer behind me, about 1 metre behind my car. Why would you do that?
Because they're dangerous.
What is wrong with them?
As a profession, truck drivers, there's some good ones, but most of them are pigs.
That is not acceptable, though. How dangerous is that?
It is very dangerous, but you shouldn't be driving the right lane if you're not overtaking.
But I'm going the speed limit.
It doesn't matter. You can't sit in the right. Just go and sit in the left lane.
I couldn't get in there. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, mate.
He's sitting out in the right lane.
Yeah, he's in the right lane. You can't sit.
I will not be intimidated into changing lanes. That is a disgrace.
I have to give the truck driver a bit of a. Maybe I need to take that.
But he was speeding.
Yeah, I understand that, but you can't sit in the right lane if you're not overtaking.
Just go the speed limit.
Did he give you the bird when he went past?
Oh, he gave me everything. Don't worry about that. But why is he coming that close to me when I'm going the speed limit?
Yeah, it's a good point. He's probably trying to pass.
Does my head in. Just drive the speed limit. Why do we have to get angry on the road?
I reckon there is someone that could be doing this exact segment, and what's doing their head in is people sitting in the right lane.
But what I'm going the speed limit.
It doesn't matter. You can't sit in the right lane.
No, it does my head in.
The lifestyle section proved very, very popular during the AFL season. And now with our AFL talk about, this is a section that we really need to pad out and sort of put some effort into. So this is where we talk about food and we talk about holidays and what annoys your partners and alcohol and everything like that. I got sent, do you like chilli oil?
Love chilli.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's magnificent.
Anything with chilli in it, I love.
I had a lovely man contact me on Instagram. Now, keep in mind, I don't have any followers, so I found this a little bit confusing and I was a little bit concerned. He said, hey, mate, are you into chilli oil? I was just wondering if I could send you some. What's your address? And I was like, I probably shouldn't be giving you my address. Like, why would you be sending me out free stuff? I don't have any followers.
But you've been asking for free
stuff. I don't think he would listen to it. Not the type of guy that would listen to this podcast. Anyway, I decided, I was like, I'll give it to him. I mean, I've got nothing to steal in my house anyway. He sends me this chili oil that is like nothing else I've ever had. Now, if you're listening, go to Instagram, Danny.Ronan, R-O-N-I-N. He makes this, it's all he does is make this chili oil, and it's not like the chili oil you get at a dumpling restaurant. This is stuff you eat it. You can eat it by just the spoon.
It's got a bit of sweetness.
It's got five spice and everything. It is just
love that. Get down to Baker's Delight.
Just magnificent.
I love chili, and for any of our listeners out there who love chili, get on Netflix at the moment. There's a new series on it. It's like the world champions of unknown sports, you know. Like that, the one in England where they throw the big thing of cheese down the hill and you've got to chase down after it. There's an episode on there and it's based around chili eating. And there's a chili that is produced in one of the Carolinas in America. It's called the Carolina Reaper. It is the hottest chili ever produced. Just get on there and have a look at these people eating the Carolina Reaper.
Let's unpack. I love chili.
Yeah.
I love spice. My body doesn't. So it doesn't react well. I get really sweaty.
But that's all right.
If I'm on the throne, I get cut in half the day after. But I just love chili.
And what about Nadal? Does she like it?
No, and she doesn't want me to have it because of what happens.
Can you imagine the Carolina Reaper the next day?
I'd lose limbs.
No good.
Hey, we're allowed to leave Victoria. The first flight from Melbourne to Sydney landed yesterday, which is just fantastic.
How good.
We're almost free to go except for WA, and who cares about WA?
Where's your first port of call? Where are you going?
I'm thinking I'm going to go to Laguna Key.
Good spot up there. Good real estate.
Seriously, if you could get on a plane tomorrow and go somewhere in Australia, where are you going? I wouldn't mind
sitting on a Noosa Beach or something like that for a little while.
Noosa would be great.
Noosa
would be great. I'd love to go.
The Reaper.
You can't fart in here.
I didn't.
I think you did.
You did.
What?
You just moved like you did. You know where I'm going? I'm going straight to Tassie, straight to Devonport.
Put some sunscreen on.
Okay, well, let's...
It's hot down
Are you actually... Well,
no, I am. I'm going down to Devonport.
When are you going?
In the next few weeks, just for a couple of nights, down to Devonport.
Nice.
The Alamatta Hotel on the river, on the Mersey River.
And that's a trip you just might leave the Darling kids at home for, isn't it?
No, they'll come down. Oh. Yeah, come visit a few friends. Where would you go, Nate?
We haven't really decided yet. It's always hard to pack up four kids and trying to find accommodation this time of the year. So we're not really going anywhere. But if you've got any suggestions, I'm all ears.
Have you ever? You wouldn't be a camping family.
No.
No.
Can you imagine Brownie camping?
I'm thinking about getting a camper van and rolling up. I spoke to Duck the other day and he said, if I can do it, you can do it. So he hired a camper van and he went down to Wye River Caravan Park.
Yeah,
so he packed up all the kids.
Wayne Carey got
in a camper van, Wye River Caravan Park, and plugged it in.
Beautiful. Wow. Are your kids at the age where it wouldn't be absolute hell having four of them in a confined space, or would it be torture?
That's just hell most of the time at the moment, huh?
No, you need a resort with a kids section, don't you?
Hey, I had this thought. Now, I want to premise this. This is not a segment of me spruiking inventions that I think would work, because we know every radio show or podcast in the world has done it. But I had this thought the other day, because I've got a new puppy. Now, I've got two puppies now, and they destroy socks all the time. All it takes, if they just get their teeth into one sock, the whole pair's ruined.
Yeah.
So imagine if socks came in threes, not twos.
Well, there's a business idea.
Would you buy that? I'm thinking about it. It's a great business idea.
No, I don't mind it, because I reckon if I went to my sock drawer at home at the moment, I've got that many single socks in
there.
And where do they go?
Well, because all it takes is you lose one sock, it's gone. With Hummer socks, you lose one sock, you've still got a pair.
Where do they go? Why do you...
Yeah, that's all I know. Somewhere there is... Where do the socks end up?
A heap of them.
All right, well, we don't have any footy to talk about. So what we have to do in the summer edition of Richo, Brownie and Hummer is we like to bring in a guest each week. Now, we're kicking things off with a spectacular guest. She... is already a fan of the Sportsbet family. In fact, she is part of the Sportsbet family. She was a hockey roo. She is on Channel 7. She covers the VFL. She's been on AFL
Grand
Final Day, played for the Pies. She has done it all. Georgie Parker, welcome.
Hummer, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, ever.
Actually quite rude to Georgie when she's in the office.
Well, it's been a long time since we've all been in the office together. Now, George, you escaped Victoria. You're over in Perth.
Yeah, best decision I ever made. left in March, thinking I'd be gone for 8 to 10 weeks, and I'm still here because old Marky Boy won't open the borders, but looking to be back next year. Now that it's all, you know, COVID-free over there in Victoria now, 0-0-0 today, so it's all looking good there for you guys.
Now, we have got a very highly touted lifestyle section of this podcast where we talk all things food and clothes and just everything the common man or woman might like to listen to. Now, you have come, there's something very close to your heart, and it's the potato.
Well, it is the most elite of vegetables. I think we can all agree on that. If we were to do a power ranking of vegetables, it'd be up there with, or it has to be at the top.
Yeah, so without a shadow of a doubt.
Just because of the versatility of it. Yeah. You can't not like it. It's like, I mean, you've made some outlandish comments, and I'm going to make one. I mean, you made the lasagna, which you backtracked on when you got a free lasagna. so it seems to be pretty easy to sell anything. But, look, I made an outlandish statement, and you wanted to keep me accountable to it. I said that the best mashed potato is actually better than a fry or a hot chip.
No.
Yeah, no, I agree.
No way!
And I've heard that's not acceptable.
No, I agree, Georgie.
I've heard it's not acceptable, but look, oh, I love that. I've not heard many people agree with me, and you came to me and said, right, we'll make a power rank, a potato ranking.
Yep.
Power ranking. We don't. No one knows what power rankings actually mean, do they?
Well, no.
We worked that out.
Essentially, a power ranking just means there's no clear criteria. You can just say whatever you want.
well, I've made a power ranking because, and I also think it's important to note that if you're talking about like the elite variety, a good mashed potato is better than a good chip. But if we're talking about the average variety, so like an average mashed potato, then an average hot chip is better. But I think that hot chips get a good run just for their ease of which you can eat them. Easy to hold in a box and you can just eat them with your fingers. You can't do that with the mashed potato and it's a bit more effort, right?
Yeah.
But I think that they get a bit of a tough run just because of their ease. Pardon?
Unless you're a grub, you could eat mashed potato. All right, so you've got... So what comes after the hot chip?
All right, so if I'm looking at the elite ranking, we've got... Do you want to go from bottom to top or top to bottom?
Go bottom to top.
Bottom to top. All right. Well, now I've done eight. I went and found the, you know, eight maybe most popular kind of varieties of potatoes. Ooh. We go down to number eight, and this is going to be another argument in itself. What do you call them? Potato cake, potato scallops, potato fritters are they called as well? They're putrid. No one's got time for them, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Can we agree with that?
I love a good potato cake.
I love it. Really?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'm a big potato cake man.
I love a good potato cake. So the next seven are going to be pretty good.
Seven, Rosties, potato Rosti. I think they're just glorified hash browns and they're not actually any good. I think I don't like them. I think they're too gratey. You know what I mean? Like there's too many big chunks in them.
Are they those Indian ones? Them.
I reckon they're hit
but
or
like
miss.
Them more than a potato cake.
They're really hit or miss, Georgie. You can get a good one, but more often than not, yeah, I agree.
Number six.
A bad one. Now, number six, now this is a pretty solid one. You can't really stuff these up. A jacket or baked potato. I think they're pretty simple to do. You just chuck a bit of alfoil on them, put them in the oven.
Yep.
But what goes on top of them is really what made them.
Mm.
All right, so they're number six. They're pretty stable, middle of the run. Number five. We've got roasted.
Oh, that is low down.
It is low down. And from now I'm looking at it, I might have been a little bit too low. But that's where I'm at. We've got number four. And this is where I've got my hot chips and my fries at number four. So they've not even made the podium.
Oh, my God. This is silly.
And then we've got number three. No. Number three, we've got wedges. And I'm talking about the elite wedge. We've got the perfect amount of potato to crispy ratio, the perfect amount of condiments. So you know how sometimes they're a bit stingy with sour cream and sweet chili sauce?
You need two bowls of sour cream.
So we've got the wedges there, the perfect wedge.
The best wedges 100%. In Melbourne. Georgie, have you had the wedges Samachi's down on Fitzroy Street?
That's a silly question.
I haven't.
No.
That's where you get your wedges at about 3 a.m.
Well, I'm going to go there now.
Yeah.
That's a huge shout. I'm going to go there as soon as I'm back.
Good.
We've got number two. We've got the perfect hash brown. And this is, again, going to be an outlandish statement, but the Macca's hash brown, just those shitty frozen ones are the best hash browns.
Jeez.
I don't want any of those big homemade ones. I just want the ones out of the oven.
Good the
they
are,
and then number one, mash. And I'm talking... Have I lost you guys here? Have I not done this well?
Well,
no, this is good.
No, we're waiting for number one.
Well, I said it. I said mash.
Mash potato.
Ah, yeah.
You missed the start.
I did listen.
We all knew that.
It was a strange. We went first, then eight, seven, six, five.
I reckon, Georgie, the most controversial part of that list is the roasted potatoes at five. A good roast potato.
I'd almost have that at one.
Yeah.
Well, where would you put them?
Oh, definitely in front of the wedges and the hash brown for mine. I'm with you on the mash. The creme de la creme mash is very, very good, but the roast potatoes aren't far behind.
I'd almost have the potato cake at number three, Matt.
Gee, no way.
Pretty high.
Well, thank you for that, George. George is going to be back in a couple of weeks to settle the Palmy versus Palmer debate.
So yes.
A hot topic for us.
Thanks, Georgie.
Thanks, Georgie.
Bye,
There we go. I'm not that happy with that list.
There's a lot of... We should throw that up and get feedback.
We should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put it up.
No, we'll put that up on Twitter.
Potato cakes are good.
Potato cakes are great. If you get the right potato cake, I'd take that over a chip.
Mate, you go to Ange Christou's fish and chip shop at Northcote Plaza. He does good potato cakes, Ange.
You can't... What is it inside? Is it inside?
They've got to be hand cut and just... They've got to be done properly.
They do. Yeah. The Coonya General Store in Sorrento does a magnificent
potato
cake and a
dim
sim. Oh, yeah. Hey, we've got a... Speaking of... new segments. We've got a couple more that we're going to launch. Now, we're not going to go into them this week, but we're going to launch them because we're going to push this on social. Now, the first one is Where Are They Now has been done to death, but we want to sort of go off piece. We want to do an obscure Where Are They Now. So we want to sort of try and work out some, or we're going to find some players or some media or anyone that's got a little bit of notoriety that just maybe no one's ever asked the question. Like, has anyone ever asked the question, where is Richie Vandenberg right now?
Well, I just saw a good one then, just as we talked about this on Instagram. I just saw Bob Murphy put up a photo of him and a Fitzroy player from the 90s who was an enigma, Darren Dock Wielden.
Oh.
Darren Dock Wielden. Yes. He used to have the big shaved up the side. Well,
so
one
that,
player.
That sort of thing.
That's the sort of thing. So
obscure or obscure jobs they've gone to after footy or after media. So a guy that we played one season with, Mark Graham, former Hawthorn number 34, now makes the prosthetic limbs.
Yes.
For so can you go from football to prosthetic limbs? Yes. It's extraordinary. So I'd love to ask him how he got there. So that's the sort of people we're going to find.
So where they are now or what they're doing now?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun. Another segment that we're going to dive into in the summer edition, and this surprised me because Brownie has never done any extra work for this show ever. He has gone and organised a sting.
So, you know, let's not take a piss here.
I certainly wasn't.
Well, I think you are.
That's one of the greatest things.
Oh, my God.
It's called taking the piss. So we need some help from the Sportsbet family. Just when you think about something, you go, bloke's taking the piss or this is taking the piss. But I was walking past a neighbour's house the other day and you remember how you used to see, you know, bore water and use because we used to be in a drought. Now, this is a beautiful jungle, perfect green grass. It is just flowering everywhere. Yeah. But then I see this little sign in the corner of the garden, rainwater in use. you're not fooling anybody. So that's an example of taking the piss. Or now that we're back and everybody can go out again, cyclists congregating together in their Lycra. I just think they get together and they go, what offensive piece of clothing, Lycra, could we put together today? It's either light green, like a light yellow, and they all get together. And I just don't think men should wear Lycra. Unless you are a professional sportsman, you shouldn't be wearing Lycra. And I think they're taking the piss.
I get the fact that you can wear the bike shorts with the padding, but then just put a pair of shorts
over
the
top. Put some footy shorts over the top.
We don't want to see you meat and potato.
Yeah. I was saying this to Dale the other day. We were in a bakery and there was a couple in front of us and I was just seeing it all. Like, it was just in my face. And I thought, what are you doing
and
wearing
they
this?
They have their coffees, they kick back, they get their leg up in the air.
And they click and clack along the footpath and
they're taking the piss.
I'll tell you who was taking the piss. Saturday night at my house, 4 a.m. in the morning, I couldn't put up with it any longer. It was basically, there was a bass drum beating next to my head and I just they have to be close. Like, is it the house next door? Is it the house over the road? So I basically worked out. I went out in my backyard and they were sitting over the other side of my back fence with a boombox and a heap of grog.
What, is it a park
behind? At 4 a.m. in the morning, basically about 8-9 metres from my bedroom, and that is taking the piss.
What, did you call the local constabulary?
My wife was going to, and I said, look, we don't want to attract attention, but I gave him a fair spray.
Oh, did you?
Told him to move on.
So send in your nominations for taking the piss.
The people, we've been working from home for 6 months now, 7 months now, people that will sit there and look you dead in the eye and say, I'm more productive at home than I am in the office.
That's you.
I don't say that. I wouldn't. I mean, I say that to my boss, but
that's not possible.
It's not possible. So send in your suggestions, taking the piss. Now, I have gone, now, because, of course, all of our listeners will remember the Trumpet Award. Now, didn't have the best name. We didn't really ever understand it was called the Trumpet Award, the Trump Award. No one ever knew it. So we're going to have a summer edition of it, but we can't rely on footy. So we're going across the globe. But I've had a stinger made up. Let's have a look.
Is that Danny Zuko? Oh,
it does look like I've had a stroke in that, doesn't it?
That's funny.
Because this, it is called the Hummer Summer Lovin' Award.
Oh, summer Lovin' Award.
Hummer Summer Lovin'. Don't forget the Hummer.
Well, let's get straight into it. Best on. I am going to give an honourable mention, first of all, to Sam Powell. We mentioned him. He is the Bulldogs list manager. Had an unbelievable. But there's been so much going on that I couldn't fit Sam Powell in. Now, I've already spoken. I'm going to give one vote to cryptocurrency. It is flying at the moment. Cryptocurrency gets my one vote. Now, I've bought some visual aid in for my two votes, and it's extraordinary on Instagram. Two votes goes to Greg Norman, who posted himself on Instagram, and he's just walking along the beach, and there's just something that you notice in this photo of Greg Norman. Now, I don't know whether
he's fit, isn't he?
He's the great white shark, or he's the great white shark these days. But I tell you, it's surprising you never use the broomstick putter, Matt.
It would make Matt Shervington blush.
Come on, is he good, Nick, too, the shark?
He needed to have a look at that before he posted it.
I reckon he has. That's why he's posted. That is, I'm sorry,
he's in good
for a man that's not as endowed as that, you look at that and just go, my God.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? And three votes. We've spoken about the grand final. Dustin Martin was outstanding.
Yeah, he was. Good votes, Nate. I actually gave one vote, and I give one vote to that man, Dustin Martin, for his grand final, but also for some of his work since then, because he's basically been hanging out with Fisher, the DJ, for the last 3 weeks. I'll tell you what, they're having a good time, Dusty and Fisher. So Dusty got one. I gave two to our man Cam Smith, we spoke about before. Masters record, four rounds in the 60s, and our mate Bussy caddied for him. I gave three to Sam Power. He has nailed that trade period for the Western Bulldogs.
So these are the worst ons.
These are the worst ons. So the Hummer Southern Summer.
Well, there's a bit of a theme here. I gave one vote to Ned Guy, who is the Collingwood. He didn't have a great period, and obviously he is the face of Collingwood as a list manager, and poor old Ned Guy, he'd love his time over again. Didn't quite work out. I gave two votes, and this is social media influence, to Lachlan Spark. Now, you might ask who Lachlan Spark is. He is the former ex-husband of Lauren Phillips. So just in the last week, like, they've been broken up for a long, long time and just unloaded. Just leave it. Leave it alone. Lauren's a lovely girl who works at Channel 9, and I just thought it was just a bit of poor taste what he went to. And three votes to Collingwood for their awful, awful trade period.
Yeah, I agree with Ned Guy. One vote. Just you got to manage your list better than that. You can't be getting things that far wrong with your salaries and the like. I don't think anyone's had a month as bad as this man. He's taken being a sore loser and throwing the toys out of the cot more than anyone in the history, I think, of mankind, and that is Donald Trump. He has had a very ordinary 4 weeks, to Donald.
You've got to laugh at it, though, don't you?
I mean, they're having this summit at the moment, and they're talking about the pandemic. He just went and played golf. He's the president of the United States. He has had a stinker, Trump. Time to move on, boy. And I gave three. It's hard to believe someone could be worse than Donald Trump in the last month. The dude from the Woodville pizza shop in Adelaide. He's had a mare.
He's had a stinker. He's got the state locked down.
He got a state put into the hardest lockdown in the history of lockdowns. He's had a bad week.
All right, I'm going to wrap up. But before we do, thankfully a segment that has lasted and the test of time, it comes across from the traditional Rich O'Brienian Hummer, Hummertheticals. All right, gentlemen, would you rather wake up every morning from a nightmare relieved it wasn't real, or wake up from a perfect dream shattered it wasn't real?
Nah, I'm happy with the nightmare waking up and it's not real. You can have good dreams, but I reckon we lead okay lives. I just think the downside of a bad dream, some of the stuff it could end you.
So you'd prefer to have a happy dream every night and wake up and go, oh.
No, he's saying.
No, I'm saying I'd rather the nightmare and then know that it's not true.
Yeah, mate, same.
I've been having a few nightmares lately.
Yeah, but don't you like that feeling when you wake up and go, oh.
No, but I wake up and I don't feel.
It rattles you.
It's easy to get inside his head.
But I just feel drained. I don't feel like I've slept.
The Sandman gets in there, just has his way with him.
Just the beasts under your bed. Give me a nice dream any night. I want to wake up happy.
Most people I've asked have gone with the nice dream, but I'm with you. I hate that feeling.
Feel like you haven't slept though? Like you just.
I'm not really a coward. All right. You don't ever have to pay for a meal ever again. Not your groceries, not when you go out for dinner, not a barbecue mate's place, but you can never, ever, ever use cutlery again.
No, yeah. I'm going the free meal. Yeah. Because you think about it.
So if you go to an Indian restaurant, you have to eat with your hands.
No, but there's plenty of things I can find. If I go to the Indian restaurant, I'll just have samosas.
Yeah, but then you're robbing yourself of. You can essentially never have a curry in public again.
No, but I can have plenty of other things.
I'd still have curry. I'd just dive down into the fingers.
You can still go out to a nice seafood restaurant and have oysters and prawns.
You never have a steak again. Never have a Palmer again.
What do you mean? You pick the steak up.
You'd do that in a restaurant.
Could have a big
in public.
Tomahawk.
Well, it's just the way it is.
Tomahawk.
I mean, I probably would.
Chicken drumsticks, chicken wings. There's plenty of things you can have.
You are limited. You're never having soup again.
But pizza. I don't have to pay for a feed.
Bolognese.
No, it's all right. Yeah. You can have soup. You just drink it out of the bowl. Did that heaps as a kid. Yeah.
All right.
Stick that in your pipe.
All right, here's another one, which is a similar theme. You can only use one item of cutlery for the rest of your life. You only get one. What would you pick? Fork.
Nah, splayed.
No, you can't. You're not allowed to do that.
You can't invent cutlery.
You can't invent cutlery.
Splayed? We had splades growing up.
No, but it's got to be one of the three big dogs. Right, we'll you can't fork. Make them up.
No one else like
I'm
going to
bring a splayed in next week.
What?
Do you don't reckon they exist?
No, they do exist, but you're not allowed to do that. That's not part of the question. Well, it's one of the three big dogs. What would you do? I'm going a knife.
Why?
But I love steak and parmas and stuff.
How are you going to cut it with one hand?
Well, I can cut a steak. If I've got a knife, I can cut a steak and eat it just with my hands. Oh. A fork, you're never having steak, parma. Like, my favourite food is a steak.
I'm going to go a spoon.
What?
I'm going to go a spoon. I love cereal. I love cereal.
Yeah, and I only have toast, so I'm going the fork.
Why do you mean you're going the spoon?
I can butter the toast with the spoon as well.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. Why would you go a spoon?
Because I just said I love cereal.
Look how much cereal you're eating
today. You're going to eat Cocoa Pops for the rest of your life.
All right, that will do us. It's a long show to kick things off. We're back every Tuesday, so make sure if you've let this podcast slide down in your... down in your listens and stuff, make sure you subscribe. It's all up there at the top because we are back every week.
Got to wear a shirt like that next week.
Yes, next week. Right. As we discussed, we're going to come dressed.
If you've got time, go and check out Greg Norman's Instagram.
Yep. And remember, if you have got a business you want to sponsor us, that is the cheapest sponsorship in sport, we're looking for a tier two sponsor. And if TaylorMade don't get back to us within 48 hours, we're looking for a tier one.
We are
good luck on the punt this weekend. Gamble responsibly.
Look, we've had to duck back into the studio after the show because, Hummer, we have to back over something that happened earlier in the show.
It's a non-event.
I've never seen anything like this. I heard Nathan drop a little
fart. We both did.
No. I asked him about it and he denied it.
You denied it to our face. Well, so we left the studio. We've come back in because our producer has just shown us some footage that is going to blow this wide open. Have a look here.
What? What does that
prove?
You have
lifted your leg.
What
and
does
then
that prove? I moved in my seat.
And Hummer,
I'm always moving in
and
my
Hummer,
seat.
And Hummer, as he did it, he looked at me and he knew, because he knew that I heard it, and then he denied it. Have another
oh,
look.
Oh, here we go. So he's talking. Yep. Oh, it's in his gut.
That proves nothing.
And then you turned around and smiled at him.
Yeah, and then denied it.
We've got
I'm
you.
Still so, denying it.
There you go. Caught red-handed. Brownie did fart in the studio.
He is the only human being I know that would do that. You're incredible.
I didn't do it.
You did.
And I'm not the only human being. There's many people who would do that, but I didn't do it.